small book in our Bible, amen, Jude, and there's only one chapter. And so right in front of the book of Revelation, we're going to look here this evening, 25 verses. We are going to try to highlight a major portion of this chapter, but we want to primarily look at some very practical truths that are found at the latter part of the chapter. And so the book of Jude this evening, verse number 4, it says, "There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And we'll come back in a moment and look at some of the meanings of those words, but I want us to look at that first part for just a second when it says there are certain men crept in, and it uses this word unaware. Unaware. Most problems in our life start and we're not aware of them. If you've ever had rotten wood in your house, in your porch, it was rotting long before you ever discovered it. If you've had vehicle problems, many times the vehicle problem was taking place long before you ever discovered it. Sometimes physical things in our body, when you finally start going to the doctor because of the pain or whatever's taking place, they find out that what was going on has been going on for a long time and you didn't even know it. Unawares. Spiritual problems that take place in our life. Sometimes people say, "I just don't understand how I got this far away from God." Well, you didn't jump from here to here. But there was a process going on, and sadly, you and I were unaware of it. The Bible says that these men, these ungodly, lascivious people, creep in unaware. Jumping down to a little bit later in the chapter, though, it says in verse number 20, it says, "But ye beloved," and this is the opposite or the reaction we ought to have because of the reality of things getting in unaware. It says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able," and I love this verse, "unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." I'm going to speak tonight about this thought about building up yourself on your most holy faith. Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, would you, Lord, help us in the next moments of time to have hearing ears. Lord, these verses, God, kind of summarize the Christian life. What it means to follow Christ, what it means to walk in the Spirit, what it means to be yielded to you. If we might say, it's the expectation that you have of those that you died for and rose again. So help us tonight to have good understanding. Help me to say what you want spoken. Father, please meet the needs that are here and present tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have already mentioned, the problem that Jude is dealing with here is the fact that things take place that we are often unaware of. We must be careful to watch out in our life when we're making statements such as, "I don't see any problem with what I'm doing. I don't see any problem with the decision that I'm making. I don't see any problem with this action, behavior, or the lack of doing this, or failing to do this over here." Because sometimes the consequence or the result of that, it's taking place and we're not aware of it. That's why God gives us the Scriptures. That's why God gives us the pastor. That's why God gives us good friends. And ultimately, that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit of God inside of us to convict us, to show us, to prompt us, lest something take root in our life. It's kind of interesting just to read the description of this ungodliness. It's interesting in verse 3 when Jude said, "Beloved, When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And Jude is putting this emphasis that we would earnestly contend, not just kind of sit by the side of the road and see what's going to happen, that we would be actively involved in the faith that we're supposed to be building ourselves upon. And then he begins to describe, and in verse 4, we talked about the ungodly. What a word to be ungodly. To be against God, to be without God, to say, I'm not interested in God. I don't want anything to do with God. And the result of that is turning the grace, boy, the God's wonderful gift, into lasciviousness. That big word, lasciviousness. But a life of no restraint. Where every man, woman, child, whoever it is, just does whatever they want to do. Do we live in a world like that today? We live in a society that no longer wants to be restrained. They don't want any rules. Everybody should be able to just to do whatever you... Here's the statement. If it feels good, do it. But you know, lots of things feel good that aren't good for you. Isn't that right? Yeah, we're going to go downstairs in a little while. We're going to do something that feels good. But we'll know about it tomorrow. Amen. I mean, you know, the food that tastes good. Man. But we're just going to do it in moderation. You understand what I'm saying? Just because something feels good doesn't mean that it's something that you should indulge your life in. But we live in a world today that doesn't want any restrictions. No restrictions, no rules, no nothing. Just don't hurt anybody. I talked with a young man recently like that, and he was just saying, you know, I just think that as long as you don't hurt anybody, everything is good. Treat others, he said, like you would want to. I said, where does that come from? It is the second commandment. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. I said, but the second commandment is meaningless without the first commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. Because the reality is without God, we wouldn't even know how to treat one another. We would be like animals. Mm-hmm. You know, those animals don't share too well, do they? Oh, I know, once in a while somebody catches a fuzzy video of an animal behaving kindly towards another animal. Be careful. He might just be fattening it up to eat it later. Because that is its natural instinct, is it not? Yes. It's not kindness and compassion. It's called King of the Jungle. People are different than that. We should be if we follow God. Mm-hmm. And I said, without God, you can have no sense of morality. Mm-hmm. Jude continues on and he says in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He mentions in verse 6 the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We are no different than anybody else. If you don't pay attention to what God says, things fall apart and your life is destroyed. It's amazing today we live in a world with the ever famous lie, it won't happen to me. That's what this is talking about here. Sin will always have a price. In verse 8, he continues the descriptions. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Here's an interesting statement. Despise dominion. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what the rules say. I don't want anybody over me. Even the next one, speak evil of dignities. The slander that goes forth. We won't spend all the time on these tonight. Jump down to verse number 11. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Remember Cain? Adam and Eve, their first children mentioned in the Scriptures. Cain and Abel. The sacrifice was to be the blood sacrifice. Cain brought the fruits of the ground. Now, I don't know what fruits he brought. I don't think he brought, you know, the wilted, you know, cauliflower that he didn't want to eat. I would have guessed that because he was bringing a sacrifice, he probably brought the best. But it wasn't what God said. God said it had to be the blood. And God rejected the sacrifice of Cain. And Cain got bitter and angry, slew his brother Abel, the way of Cain. So many people today, once again, rejecting the way of God for their way. Whether it is salvation or even living their life. He says in verse number 11, he talks about those that ran greedily after the error of Balaam. If you go back in your Bible and you read the story of Balaam, he was that prophet who God very clearly told Balaam, don't go with Balak. But Balaam kept asking, Lord, can't I just go? Can't I just go? Finally God said, go, but only say what I tell you to say. And Balaam was motivated by one thing, the love of money. Living for yourself, greed and gain. The love of money is the root of all evil. And Balaam allowed that passion for the financial gain and the favor of men to turn his heart away from God. Many today follow simply after the gain and the pleasure of this world. And then it says in verse 11, the last group that God identifies is those that perished in the gainsaying of Korah. If you remember the rebellion that took place, they were murmuring and complaining, resisting the leadership that God had placed over them. And God judged and said, step away, and opened up the earth and swallowed up Korah and his company. In verse 12, Jude says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And I just read those tonight. I won't spend time there, but I think you can read that and you think, wow, I don't think God likes what was going on. In verse 16, God continues His description though. And He says, these are murmurers, complainers. I don't know, I don't suppose I ever look into my Bible and read the stories of murmuring and complaining and, boy, I just get smitten in my heart. We are a people that love to murmur and complain. But any murmuring and complaining is against God. Because God is still the authority and the King of this world. But so often we find ourselves dissatisfied. The reason we murmur and complain is because of verse 16, walking after their own lust. Because we have a plan, we have an agenda, we have a desire, we have something we want. Oh, that we would get over the simplicity of murmuring and complaining and be surrendered to God and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He says, with their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, only saying things to puff up people, seeing what you can get. I think if Jude was alive today, he could write this chapter and it would be very fitting for our land, is it not? Things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. People are still people. But tonight I want us to dwell upon the answer. To dwell upon what the Bible says in verse 17 and onward. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. We should not be surprised when sin abounds. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. The world is full of lost people, and they will live that way. But ye, now he's getting to us. Ye, beloved. He says, building up yourselves. And this little article right there, after the word yourselves, in your Bible it should not say building up yourselves in your most holy faith, but it should say building up yourselves on your most holy faith. In other words, you can't build until first you have the foundation of faith. You first must be born again. Let's look at a couple of verses very quickly. We'll come back to Jude in just a minute. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew in chapter number 16. Familiar verse. But let's understand what it is about our faith that is essential. If we're going to build on something, what is that faith supposed to be built upon? Matthew chapter number 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse number 15, very clearly He said, He was talking to His disciples, and He said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now don't, in your Bible, connect the word rock with Peter. Because Peter was never a rock. Because Peter failed. Peter fell back into his sinful life. The rock is the fact what he said about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The fact, the statement about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, "I'll build My church upon Myself. Upon who I am, the Lord Jesus Christ." If you're going to build up your life, you must build it on that faith. The Lord Jesus Christ. You don't build your life upon the church. You don't build your life upon the sayings of men. I love quotes. I have lots of quotes. I enjoy quotes. I collect quotes of missionaries and people. But you don't build your life upon statements of people. You build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know how to do that? Well, John chapter number 1 tells us so very clearly. John chapter number 1, and in verse number 1, a verse that if you haven't memorized, you ought to memorize it. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You tie that together with verse 14 in John chapter number 1, and it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Somebody says, "How do I know Jesus Christ?" It's not a painting. It's not a charm around your neck. How do you know Jesus Christ? Because we have the written living Word of God.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. You build your faith on this. Mm-hmm. Your faith is resting in the Word of God.
Right.
Now look at Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. You ever sing the little kid song? "The wise man built his house upon the rock." You know that song? You sing that up here? Yeah? The second verse says, "The foolish man built his house upon the what?" The sand. Now I should have put a board up here tonight and drew this, but can I draw on the wall in your mind? All right? Okay. For a long time in my life, I got a picture in my head, all right? Of a big rock. Right? And where is the wise man's house? Up on the rock. Do you see it? If not, I'll borrow a marker. Alright? And down here was the foolish man's house, right? And it was built where?
Sand.
On the sand. In fact, when I would teach children, I'd draw that picture, put my big rock, you know, and I'd write on the rock, "Jesus." Boy, you need to be built on the Word of God. And down here is the foolish man's house, built on the sand. And we know the song, right? The wise man heard what Jesus said, and what? He did it, right? The foolish man heard what Jesus said, and what? Didn't do it. That was the difference, the sand and the rock. But look here in Luke chapter number 6. Read the story, verse number 45. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Your life reveals what is in your heart. Verse 46. "And why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to Me and heareth My sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake, for it was found upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you see the illustration, obedience to the Word of God, your house is on the rock. Disobedience, your house is on the sand. But look at what it says, though, carefully. The one that built his house upon the rock, it says he did what? Digged deep. He didn't rent an airplane and fly everything to the top of the rock and build his house. The proper picture? It's all level earth. And when you look at the two houses, they look exactly the same. The only difference is this house over here, the man took the time to dig deep until he found rock and he put in a foundation. You know, when you buy a house, you check the foundation, I hope, right? But you don't usually walk around and say, wow, that's a beautiful foundation. In fact, most of the time you can hardly see the foundation, right? But you want to make sure the foundation is good, because if not, what happens to the house? It falls. Dig deep. Get in the Word of God. Find out what God says and make sure you're doing it. That's what the wise man does. The wise man doesn't just sit around waiting for someone to come and tell him what the Bible says. The wise man gets into the Word of God to find out what God says. The foolish man, he didn't dig deep. He heard, but he didn't care. Because it was just other people's words. It wasn't God's. Go back to the book of Jude tonight and put that in our mind as we look at this again. In Jude, verse number 20, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Did you get that truth? Building up yourselves. You see, here's the thing tonight. If the only Word of God you get is the Word of God through Pastor Tom Klein, you're probably not building up yourself on your most holy faith. And when the storms come, you're going to blow away. God's people have got to take personal responsibility and get into the Word of God and get in there deep and say, what does God say to me and for me? Notice what else he says there in verse number 20. It says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Could I say tonight, if you want an outline or a sense of this tonight, that the first truth is, if we're going to build up ourselves, we've got to be in the Word of God and in prayer personally. I'm convinced tonight we don't have that in our world. We go to church. We maybe have a few minutes in the morning with a devotion. We say, Lord, bless this food. And if there's a great crisis, then we pray. Boy, we surely don't just need that simplicity. We need a people that'll get into this book.
Right.
And read it. And study it.
Yeah.
Outline it. Mark it. Say, what is God saying? By the way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody's struggling with sin, I know the answer. It's the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get in the Word of God. And you got to find out what God says about it. Now, here's the thing. If you can't find out and you're struggling, then you can go to the pastor and say, preacher, could you help me find some things in the Bible about this? And the preacher, after he gets up off the floor, will say, yes, I'll be so glad to help you. You really want to study the Bible by yourself? Amen!
Amen. Good.
He'll say, here, let me help you go where to go and where to look. And I'll tell you something. People that do that are building up themselves on their most holy faith. They have joy, they have happiness, they have peace, they have answers, they have God's Word, they have God's help, and they're excited because it's real to them.
Right. Yeah.
Praying. Let's be real tonight about our prayer. Do we pray when things are good? Maybe that's why things just have to stay so bad all the time. I'll never forget it. I saw it as a kid, and I just always remember the story of the preacher. And I've probably told it so many times, but the story impacted me. And the preacher was there going through the old woods, and the family came running out and said, "Preacher, pray, pray. Our boy's been bitten by a rattlesnake." And the preacher said, "Well, why don't you pray?" And the man said, "Well, we're not praying people." The preacher got down on his knees and said, "Oh God, send hundreds of rattlesnakes to bite everyone so they become praying people." Now we laugh, but really think about it. How much do we truly pray? If we had no problems, would we talk to God? Go over most people's prayer list. Aside from the problems, they have no conversation with God. Prayer is not... Don't misunderstand me. We need to ask God for the problems because He has had the answer. But do you appreciate a friend the only time they call you is when they need something? Every time you get a text from them, you roll your eyes and you say, "Well, they must need something again." And if you feel that way, how do you think God feels? Because God can carry on a conversation. Amen? He can speak to you through His Word. He wants to hear you praise Him. He wants to just hear you talk about how wonderful it is and thank Him and in fellowship with Him. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the Word of God in prayer. If you want revival to be a part of your life, you have to dig deep. Get in the Scriptures and spend time in prayer. And by the way, it's good to have a closet, in a sense, a place where you kneel and pray and sit and lock out the world. But you know, sometimes you can just go take a walk and pray and talk to God. Those of you that drive a lot, well, you can just drive and pray. Drive on these worlds, you need to pray, amen. Maybe we should turn off some things in our world and just sit in our chair and pray. Amen. I'll be honest with you, since the advent of the radio, prayer declined. Study it historically. They found something else to fill the void. Then along came television, and revivals got less. And then came the internet. Because after all, we don't need God. We can Google it. Hello? Used to be when there was something, people would go and say, "God, I need some wisdom." Now Google gives us all the wisdom. Amen. We need to come back to prayer. Not just in crisis, but because we realize we need it to build up our lives in Him. Verse 21 very quickly says, keep yourselves. Do you see that right there? Verse 20 was, build up yourselves. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When I read this verse and I think about keeping ourselves in the love of God, I'm reminded of John chapter number 14. Turn there if you would for just a moment. John chapter number 14. Jesus said this in verse number 15. It's a very challenging statement. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, that's, you know, Jesus can say that because His love is pure and holy. Look on down in verse number 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." I don't see how we can argue with that. "Well, Lord, I love you, but I'm not going to do what you say." Jesus said, "Then you don't really love me." You don't really love me. Oh, you might love me with your emotions, but you don't love me with your heart. I'm not talking about things God hasn't revealed to us yet. I'm not talking about sins that have grabbed us in a habitual way and we're trying to get over them. I'm talking about a spirit that says, "Lord, I don't care what you say about that. I'm not doing it. But I still love you." Not so what Jesus said. Because if you love Him, when you sin, it grieves you. Because you know it grieved Him. So when the Bible says to keep yourself in the love of God, I think what it's talking about is obeying Him. But I'm glad back in Jude, verse number 21, he couples that together, the obedience with this, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for His mercy. I'm so glad tonight that the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad tonight that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How are you doing tonight? Keeping yourself in the love of God. First of all, a desire to obey, but a desire that when I have disobeyed, to come back and make it right, looking for mercy. Just coming back and saying, Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. I love the story of the prodigal son, who is so clear in the Scriptures. When he left his father's house, he came back and he acknowledged that he had sinned against God. You know, any sin that we do, you may offend your fellow brother or sister, you may offend somebody in society, but if it's sin, it's against God. No matter what it is. That's why you go back to those things like murmuring, complaining, lying, disobedient to parents, anger, wrath, coveting, should bother us. Sin should always bother us. The tongue? You ever say something? And the Spirit of God smote you and said, why'd you say that? Oh, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Tonight, could I challenge us with the simplicity? That's Christian living. Getting deep in the Word of God. Spending time in prayer. Letting the Spirit of God guide your life and showing you what you're supposed to do, obeying it. And when you don't, seeking His forgiveness. The result of that is found in verse 22 and 23. And it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I believe the result of someone who is building up their self on that holy faith and is doing these things, their life begins to make a difference. By the way, I think you'll see people differently. You'll have more compassion. But you'll also have the boldness that you need to speak the truth. Whenever someone is not compassionate and bold, they have a problem with their relationship with God. And that's a truth. Whenever we lose our compassion for others, whether they're saved or lost, a backslidden believer, a lost person, whenever we lose our compassion, we have a problem between us and God. Not a problem between us and them. You say, well, those people. No, it's not those people, it's you and God. You get your heart right with God, you'll love. You'll love as God loved. The second side of that is the boldness to speak the truth. So many people today are quiet. Now, by the way, not speaking the truth in wrath or anger. You know, we reach the boiling point, so we're going to say something? No, how about we reach the compassion point and it moves us to say something? That's what God wants. Last of all, because those are the walk of someone that is building up themselves on their most holy faith. But then there's a transition there in verse 24. Because it says now unto Him. Isn't that amazing? Because it said, build up yourselves. Keep yourselves. Others. And now it says, unto Him. Back to God. Back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. I like that. Because it's not going to be me. You say, that's confusing, Brother Smith. You said we're supposed to keep ourselves. We're supposed to build up ourselves. I know. But even if you do it, it's not you. It has to be Him. It has to be you submitting to Him and saying, okay, Lord, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not me. And I'm so glad the Bible says, He is able.
Amen.
He is able. He is able.
Amen.
You know, tonight I'm not worried about my salvation. You know why? Because my salvation isn't resting on me. It's resting on Him.
Amen.
You see, I dug deep and I found that rock. It's resting on Him. My living for Him, when I try to live it in my flesh, always fails. But when I live it in the simplicity, really, this is so simple tonight. Trusting God with all your heart. I'm just going to do what He says. He is able. And He will present you faultless. Isn't that amazing? I don't understand that. I don't understand how God someday is going to stand there with Jesus Christ and Jesus is going to say to the Father, Bill Smith is faultless. But He's going to. And He's going to do it with exceeding joy. Wow. That's why verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, there's that word, dominion. Not despising dominions, but rather saying, okay, Lord, I put my life under You, both now and forever. The problem is today we got a lot of people that want to put their life under God forever, but they don't want to put their life under God now. It's the truth. Hey, I'm going to heaven, going to be with Jesus forever, going to live with Him. I'm going to enjoy Him. Woo, can't wait. It's going to be a wonderful day. Yeah, but what about now? You see? That's the amazing love of God. That right now, you can live for Him. Yeah, you'll struggle. Yeah, you'll fall in your flesh. But a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. So how does he rise up again? Because he's able. He's able. Somebody said, well, you got to pick yourself up. Well, actually, you don't pick yourself up. He picks you up. Because you turn to Him and say, Lord, help. I'm flesh, I'm clay. I'm sorry. I'm broken. And He takes us about that miry clay. And He puts our feet on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And He keeps shaping, He keeps molding, He keeps making. And all God wants is for us to be yielded to Him. Isn't that amazing? Because He's the Master. And if we just let Him keep working, just keep in the Bible, keep in our prayers, keep loving Him by obedience, and when we fail, coming back and saying, Lord, I did it again. And He says, did what again? You know, Lord, what I did yesterday? Oh, God says, your sins and iniquities I remember no more. Amen. They're gone. This is a new day. Let's make something of it for God. Amen.
Amen.
That's the Christian life. And what God can do with that, only God knows. But He can do it for every single one of us.